First of all, Father, we thank you and praise you for this day now that you've given to us. Thank you, Father, for a day of rest that you give to us also, and a day that set aside where we come and worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, your word is truth, and you are truth. And we thank you, Father, for being that awesome God that you are. And just the great surroundings and the things around us here, Father, that we see every day, and we just overlook the things that you have made for us here, Father. Everything that's here, Lord, you made for us, and we just ask that we would just be attentive to those kind of things. We ask now, too, Father, that you would just help us here today with this lesson, that you would just help us to learn the things from your word, and that your Holy Spirit would just teach us the right things, help him to enlighten us through your word, and that we could just grow in the different aspects of life and some of the things here that we're studying here today, Father, with children. We thank you and praise you for it. Guide us now throughout this day. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. It's been now a couple weeks since we started this lesson. So just to remind you a little bit. First of all, let me start off this way. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're talking about the heart, changing the heart of the child. And your heart has to be changed too. That's why I'd gone over the different aspects of the things that I went over at the first before we even got into this. Because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, let me read this to you. I used to believe my father about everything, but then I had children myself. And now I see how much stuff you make up just to keep yourself from going crazy. Okay. Sometimes they ask you a few questions, don't they, Corb? Nate, you probably never get no questions asked to you, do you? Okay, we started off here with the child's development now that we're going through, and we started off with family values and some family values that we were talking about. And the first one was there, just some family values here that I wrote down, and there's lots. It's what you want your family, you know, to learn. It's what you want your family to learn for life. It's a life experience is what it is. Changing these children's and putting their hearts into a life that you want them to live. I just seen this morning on my iPad, I get a news thing, and I just seen where Osama bin Laden's son, whom he raised, now is wanting to put a tax against the United States and London and all different places, but he's really stressing the United States. So you see, the values that he was taught, you see, is that the way you want your children to grow up? He's grown up now. They said he's about 25 years old, and they're expecting him to take over and be the leader of it. So his dad liked it, and it even said his dad liked him more than the rest of his kids. And I don't know how many kids he had. He had quite a few kids, but that was one of them. So, you know, that's a value there. That's something that we were talking about, you know, that you can't pick and choose between your children because they're all different. They're all equal. And you just need to, you just need to take the values, you know, that you're teaching them and bring them forth to them. The first one was that I'm just going to go over it again, since we only got a couple started there because we got a good conversation going there. But worship God only, Mark 12:28-30. He said, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we're to worship God, we're to love God, and this is one of the first things that we should be doing with our children, is bringing our children up to worship God, to know that there is a God, you know, and that he's given us a free gift. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, you know, and we can be saved. And we need to teach these children, you know, to be saved. And that's what we do when it's our turn, and I'm sure I know the other ones do the same thing back there with your children. We're teaching them God's word, but then we also are putting it out there for them. If they want to be saved, all they have to do is come and talk to us, you know, and we'll show them how to be saved. So, you know, that is just that's just an important factor that we have for your children, and I know you do too. Don't get me wrong; I know you're doing the same thing, and the church is just adding on to what you are teaching your children at home. That's the idea of the church. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. So, you know, so worship God only is one of the family is a, just a family value. Another one here is that I had was respect all people, and this is where we got into a good discussion. But Mark 12, the same verse there, or same chapter, Mark 12 and verse 31 says, "And the second is like, name thee this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So the two great commandments there that he gives to us, you know, is to worship God and then to love your neighbor, you know, respect people. And so, you know, and we got into, we got into the discussion there the last time, you know, about some people, you know, and how they react and things like that. But see, you have to take that as a teaching experience for your children. And you say, okay, they live like this. We don't live like this because the Bible says, you see. And that's what you have to do. You've got to take the Bible and show them, you know, why we don't live like this. But you can still respect all people. I respect the office of the president. But that's as far as it goes. You know, that office is something that you need to respect. Now, who's in there, that's a different story. But, you know, you have to respect that office. The Bible tells us to respect that office. But, you know, those people that are in there. So, and Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." He tells us that in Matthew 7, verse 12, which we read, and Luke 6:31. You know, he tells us that there, you know, about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, here's where we left off. The next one here that I have for family value, you know, to teach your family is be humble. Be humble. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know, we're to be humble before God. We're to be humble before people. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 to 8 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Paul's teaching these Philippian church, the Philippian people here, he's saying, be like-minded like him, having that same love, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and being of one accord and of one mind. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, you don't go through what Jesus Christ had gone through. He humbled himself. He went through it. Crucifixion was a form of justice that the Romans had, and it was for criminals. Criminals is who this was for. It was to put them, to hang them up on a cross, and to let them, it ended up that they suffocated the death. And it was to humiliate them, is what the whole story was about it. And Jesus, it was back in Galatians, I think, that he was, they said that he was a, where is it? Yeah, let me read it to you. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." It was a curse. You were cursed to hang on that cross, you know, because you were a criminal, as they said it. And Jesus humbled himself to hang on that cross and to die for us. He did it for us and for his Father. For his Father. He did it for his Father. He humbled himself for that, you know. And he did that for us. And it says here that he was in like mind. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. Amen. He was equal with God. He was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was made just like you and I. He suffered everything like you and I. He went through everything like you and I did, but with no sin. You see, he didn't sin. We sin. He don't sin. He never sinned. And he humbled, like I said, he humbled himself. He was obedient. Obedient to his Father. So that's why we should be teaching our children to humble themselves. You know, and we as parents need to humble ourselves so that it teaches our children to humble, that they can be humble. You know, they need to see that. What they see is how they learn, you know, and it's something that we need to do, humble ourselves before one another, you know. Being humble makes us courteous, respectful of others. It is the opposite of aggressiveness, arrogance, boastfulness, and vanity. Humility is what we need to live in peace and harmony with all people. Wouldn't that be something if the world got a hold of this? Huh? If the world got a hold of this today, you think about it, you know. Think about that. They could live in peace. Oh, there's a day coming that they will. But that's not till after the tribulation period, which the pastor is teaching about right now, going through in Sunday evenings. The tribulation period and everything that's going to happen and take place. God's wrath being poured out upon this earth. But, you know, we just need to humble themselves. You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, there's churches around that need to humble themselves. They need to humble themselves, you know. And they won't have the problems that they do. What was that church? First Baptist Church of South Carolina. The First Baptist Church of South Carolina. I don't know where it's at. Did it say where? Just said so. But there had to be a town someplace. I mean, when you go to South Carolina, I mean, I'm sure you've been there, but I've been there, and there's Baptist churches every place on every corner. But anyhow, there's some First Baptist Church down there in South Carolina is accepting gay marriage now. Gay marriage stuff. They're accepting all this. They're going to actually endorse them, put them in their churches to preach the Word of God. Think about that. So, you think they need to humble themselves a little bit and go by the Word of God, what the Word of God says? You better believe it, they better. So, you know, to be in harmony with all people, to live in peace. And that's a family value, you know. I'm sure there's some days you that have these big families say, come on, kids, don't you think it's soon time to humble yourselves a little bit? Why are you looking at Corb like that? You could probably pull your hair out sometimes, you know, the kids just, but it's something that you teach them, you know, to humble themselves, you know. And we'll be hitting a lot of this stuff later on, but, you know, it's just a family value that I have down here. The next thing that I have down, Psalm 15, verses 1 to 5, be honest. Teach them to be honest. You know, a family value would be teach them to be honest. Psalm 15, I guess I better get to 15 instead of 5. 15, verses 1 to 5, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contended, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doth these things shall never be moved. Be honest. Be honest. Can any of you give me any experiences that you had to be honest? Go ahead.
Send them over to my place.
And by the time we discovered it, they were asleep. And this morning, we knew who it was. And I asked him. He was like, no. I could tell right away that it was him, but he wasn't honest about it. And it took quite some convincing to get an honest answer.
Anybody want to hit on that? Pastor. That's a good one for you. I don't know how, I don't know what to tell you, you know, to get the first time that you get that answer. It would be nice to get that answer the first time. I mean, we went through the same things, you know. And I said it lots of times, you know, and I told you before, and I'll keep using the example. We always had, when the boys got BB guns, we always had windows knocked out. But nobody never knew who did it. So, you know, you had to go around and, nope, I didn't do it. Nope, I didn't do it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It takes some doing. You got to draw it out of them for some reason, you know. I don't know why you have to draw it out of them. Oh, yeah, because I was standing there when he knocked the one out right beside me. Oh, yeah, he had to admit that one, so he did. There's no doubt about it. If he'd have lied to me about that one, that wouldn't have been a good one. But he stood there right beside me, you know. Well, I was standing beside the vehicle when the BB hit the window and smashed it. So, yeah, it was just an old vehicle. It didn't matter, but that wasn't the point. The point was, you know, I know who did it, and he did fess up to it right away. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Go ahead.
I think we go through the correction and we do what we know is right, and it's still their heart and their decision, and it may take years for them to actually get out of that correction what you wanted them to. But we just need to be consistent and continue to do what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. He instilled that in us, and we had enough fear of my father that we knew we better tell him the truth.
Yeah, and there is, you know, there's parents out here that do that, you know. The kids have the fear. They know that they're going to get in trouble, you know. So, you know, it's one of them things, you know, they got to tell the truth. But be honest. Did I see another? Elizabeth, was that you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, parents, sooner or later you're going to find out. Definitely. I mean, just like you there, you knew who did it. Okay. So the kid, you got to instill in these kids, you know, listen, we're going to find out sooner or later, and it's going to be worse instead of better. You know. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Listen, today, to this day, I have a 40-year-old, and I don't know how old the next one is, and they all start when we're at a family reunion. Well, we used to do this that Mom and Dad didn't know about. Oh, yes, but the thing is, we did know about it. You know. Now, there's some stuff, yes, there's some stuff that we didn't know about, you know. The gas can burning of the fires and all this and the following, you know, making this here path, you know, and following and chasing them and jumping up on the doghouse and things like this here. Yeah, no, I didn't know nothing about that there at that particular time. I knew one liked to play with fire, but I didn't know it was that like that. So what were you going to say? So, see, there is hope yet, guys. Pastor.
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind here is that raising children is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we see the immediate, the instant situation, and you need to step back and see the whole picture. There's going to be a lot of failures along the way, but you're leading up to... If you're consistent and you're diligent about trying to instill in these values in them, when they're old, is when they'll not depart from me. In the meantime, this is still a learning process. Mm-hmm. You know, the race isn't over yet.
Yep, there's,
it gets
that's right.
Discouraging at times, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's what I was going to say, because you can spend, you know, a 12-year-old, and we don't feel like we're any further ahead within certain areas than what we were 10 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, to get back to my thing of being honest, okay, and that was good, no problem with that, but have you had any experiences that you could share with me that you had to be honest yourself? Can you give me an example, one or two examples here? Anybody? Well, I'll give you one of mine, just recently. My wife and I usually go out, I take her out for lunch on Sundays because she used to do my book work and I just told her that that would be her pay, you know. But I take her out, you still kind of do my book work. But, but anyhow, we went to this place to eat and, you know, we ate, got our bill, I went up to pay. And it was $20 and something. I forget what it was, you know. And I gave them like $25, and they owed me $1.50 back. Well, you're like this, and Lisa, she instead of giving me $1.50 back, she gives me $20 back. Now, is that a test for you? Is that the devil testing you? Huh? Is he testing you? I said, ma'am. Do you see this? This is a 20. I said, you only owe me $1.50. Oh, she says, oh, thank you. You know, if I wouldn't have been honest, and many people would have just stuck that 20 in their pocket and walked out the door. Yeah. 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 She actually gave me a 20. I couldn't believe it. And like I say, I think the devil likes to test you sometimes because, you know, this has happened to me quite often here lately, recently with money, you know, and I have to go back to the people. I even walked out the door one day at a gas station and I reached in my pocket and I thought, wait a minute. And I pulled that out. It was the wrong change. They gave me too much. I walked back in. I said, I'm sorry. You give me too much money here. And I gave back to them what they only was supposed to give me a quarter and they gave me like 75 cents. And I went and gave him back the 50 cents because I'm trying to be honest, you know? So, go ahead.
The ladies of the church, have you ever bought a car for somebody and you set your purse on in the cart and you pay for your groceries and you go out and put your groceries in the car and there's the car. You forgot to pay for it. I took it back in
Yeah, I like the reaction of people whenever you try to be honest, though. See. But just remember, if your kids are around and they see you do that, you're teaching them a lesson. So you are. You are teaching them something, you know. I'll put it to you this. I just had some relation that when they were bringing up their child, he had sticky fingers. And he walked out, the first time that he walked out of the store with something, then they got in the car, they found out about it, and they said, "Don't you ever do that again," and kept it and left. Well, now what did they teach him? You see, they should have humiliated him, marched him back in there, and made him give that back and tell him he was sorry, but they didn't. You know what? To this day, he still has sticky fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's never done that again.
Yeah. Family values, that's what we're talking about, you know, instilling these things into your children. You know, that is something, it's very important, you know, to instill these things into your children, you know, the family values. The next one here is, that was be honest, it was be humble, be honest. The next one is here, live a moral life. Live a moral life. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You know the verses. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Holy Spirit lives with inside of you. You know, you're to live a moral life. He knows exactly what's going on. You may fool the people around you. You can do that. You can do that. You can fool the people around you. But God knows. God knows exactly. You know, He knows it because He lives with inside. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is living with inside of you. Your body is that temple of that Holy Ghost, He says. And He knows it all. And Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 22. Jesus made a list of things that defile you. And we've gone over this already, but I'm just going to read them again to you. Mark 7, 20 to 22. And He said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men." You see what He says there? He says, out of the heart. So the heart is very important. "Out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, proud, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Things that come out of the heart defile a man. Defile a man. The other day, I think that I could have been defiled real quickly. I was running a crash truck on Interstate 80. And I was the first one that if was going to get hit, I'd have got hit. And we were there for about 4 hours. And you want to talk about stressed out. When I got out of that truck, you don't know, you don't realize how these people. Now, I've got flashing lights. I'm not the only one. We have three set up so that they can see the arrows pointing to get into that lane over there. Bam! I don't know how some did not hit me, and I had three wide one time, not nobody wanting to give up, passing me there in two lanes. That's all they had. The berm and the lane beside them, and there was three wide. Amazing. When I got out of the truck, I told the bosses, and then the head boss, I said, "Don't you say a word to me. I could choke somebody right now." I was defiled, buddy. I'm not kidding you because, I mean, it was nuts. And I had to think about that a little bit, you know. These are things that come out of a man, you know, out of the heart of man. And I think, man, oh, man, I'm not setting a very good example here, but they don't use their heads. We needed a state cop behind us. That people seem to, whenever they see a state cop car and flashing lights, buddy, they can slow right down.
Isn't that an example? I'm saying my wife's alive. Did you read Revelations and the other chapters, prophecy and stuff? Near the end of time, there's no fear. That is a sign of no fear. Coming right up there trying to push you off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the worst part about it was I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, these tractor and trailers, they're traveling at least 70 because it's a 70-mile-an-hour zone right there where we're at right now. And you know they're going faster than that. Now, if they hit this truck, yeah, it's a crash truck, but you're dead. I guarantee that, you know. And I had a tractor and trailer. He just got stopped beside me. I mean, it was that close. And that was just not the only one. There was lots of them that was so close, it was unreal, unreal, you know. And then you wonder, you know, you wonder why you get stressed out and stuff like that there. But, I mean, that is crazy stuff. That is crazy stuff. And that's what he says here. Right then and there, there was evil thoughts coming out of my mind. These people, what's the matter with them? There's big signs back there that says, road work, next 17 miles, be prepared to stop. You know, be prepared to stop, you know. Please slow down. I think when they see, they read them there, it's a sign for them. No, I'm not going to go 70. I'm going to go 90. It's just crazy. You know, people just don't pay attention anymore. And you know, but hey, you're right. You know, in the last days, things are just getting, they're getting worse instead of better, you know. And, you know, that's an incident right there, you know, out on these major highways, how these people, you know, drive and stuff. It's nuts.
Change the subject. We want to stay on what you're teaching. And with your driving, I used to think it was just teenagers doing that. There's our people doing what you're saying, doing the same thing driving. See, they have no fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Are you going to say anything?
No, I was just thinking of my Me First bug that we teach the kids. And I'm helping teach my nephews to drive right now. And, you know, the big thing is you just drive defensively because people nowadays, it's all Me First. Get out of my way. It's me. And that's another place we can be an example to our kids. Being humble, you know, because we can get out there, and so many times they'll, like the other day, I left Trevor drive up to Rebecca, so it was an hour drive, and I don't know, people were whizzing around him and, you know, cutting him off, and he's like, well, I'm going to tell him this and that. I said, no, you don't. You know, no, you don't. You just drive calmly, and, you know, because right there, I was teaching him whether you react like with road rage, you know, and just there, I was trying to be an example to him. You calm down and you be humble. Let them go. You worry about you driving the right way.
Okay. Well, I thought she was going to say she chewed me out last night for driving fast in the back road, so I thought, you know. But that's all right. I mean, you never drive fast, Pastor. I know that, so. Why is Elizabeth laughing so? Well, anyhow, okay, so live a moral life. You know, that's another value, you know, that we should be teaching our children. The next one here I have down is be generous with time and money. Acts 20:35. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Share with the people that's, you know, that's in need. You know, share with them. You know, it's just one thing you can teach your children. You know, we have these missionaries that come in here, you know, and, you know, this church here supports a lot of missionaries. So it does. And, you know, that is something that's really a good incentive for a church to do. You know, I think, I mean, I hate to say some of these things because I listen to a lot of preachers on the radios and stuff, you know, and they tell you how God thinks and all that. they don't know, because God, his thoughts are not our thoughts. That's our right. ways are not his ways, you know, and this and that. You know, it's just one of them things. But, you know, I believe God blesses people, you know, that give to ministries like that there, you know. I think it's a proven fact here. I think he's blessed this church, you know, for us giving to these ministries and stuff. And that's a good thing to teach your children, you know. There's one way, you know, if they work, just tell them, you know, they don't have to give big dollars. So they throw a quarter or something like that in the plate. Anything like that to help those missionaries. You're teaching them to give. And Jesus said there, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, so, you know, it's something to give. And even your time is something, you know. There are some people here that, you know, that they help out different aspects, you know. Ambulance, fire company, things like that. You can be an example out there. By doing that, giving your time, helping out, and you're teaching your children the same thing, you know, to help out people, you know. That's just some examples there that I just thought off my head. There's other examples, you know, of giving time and helping out, you know, with different aspects with people. So, you know, share. Learn teaching them to share, you know, share. And I'm sure that's one of the great aspects in your family's lives there with you, all these kids, of sharing. Sharing with one another. That's a tough situation, isn't it? That's another one of them things there, you know, that you're just talking about there with, you know, who took the paint off the wall and stuff. You know, the sharing aspect of it, you know. Teaching them to share with one another. Giving things like that out. I guess I can use this example. Chad, when he was younger, and he was one of them that didn't know, you know, just like you were saying there. He didn't know. He was in school. They were taking tests. Well, he was helping this one kid out, you know, taking the test. He didn't know that he wasn't supposed to do that. Well, the teacher, he got a licking and everything for it from, you know, the teachers. And we had no qualms with that whatsoever. That was, you know, we told them there was no problems with that. But we told them, you get a licking at school, when you come home, same thing's going to happen to you. Well, we had to set him down and show him and teach him. Listen, you just can't do that. That's just something you don't do. But, you know, to this day, with him being 40 years old, I see him out here on the job, because we work at the same place. He's trying to help these other guys that are supposed to, quote, unquote, know something and don't know it. And they're getting paid big bucks to know it, and they don't know it, and, you know, he's teaching them. So, you know. He's learned to share that way.
Well, he was in kindergarten. I don't think it was a test. Somebody asked you a question and you answered it. But then when we found out what was going on, we talked to the teacher. Because when we asked him at home, he didn't know what cheating was. Okay, he was in kindergarten. And we were having trouble telling him what cheating was, so we asked the teacher to explain cheating.
Yeah. It's just a value that he learned, you know, in life, you know, for life. And I mean, to this day now, you know, like I say, he learned sharing, and he does share. He does share, you know, his the different aspects of it. So, you know, teach him to share. Okay. Be generous in time and money. Okay. Now, next one here that I have. Practice what you preach. Don't be a hypocrite. Matthew 23:27-28. Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which appear beautiful outward." See, he's telling them, look, you scribes and Pharisees, and he's calling them hypocrites because everything looks good on the outside that they're doing. It's really looking good, you know, he's saying. He's still telling them. He says, that it, like he's saying there, that it's clean. which indeed is appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead man's bones and of uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What's bad is you have so many Christians today that want to make appearances on the outside look good. But when it comes to the inside, you know. But you know, there's times where if you just sit back and you watch, it comes out. It does. It comes out, you know. I've worked around guys already, you know, and some of the different things, you know, they can claim themselves to be Christians and we talk about it and stuff. But yet, some of the things come out. I worked with one guy that, you know, he claimed to be Christian and all this and that stuff, you know, but he was one of these healers and all that. But yet, if you sit back and watched, when he didn't know it, he'd be cussing and carrying on just like the rest of the guys. I think there was a problem there. Big problem. I hate to say it, but probably needed to get saved. Change of heart. Change of life. Change of attitude. Getting into the Word of God. The Word of God tells you about that, you know, the swearing, you know, the things that proceed out of your mouth and things like that there. So, you know, practice what you preach. Don't be a hypocrite. You know, if you're practicing, if you're preaching something to your child and you turn around and just do the opposite thing that you just preached, what did you teach them? You know, you've got to teach them the right things. You know, practice what you preach. Okay, so practice what you preach. Don't be a hypocrite. The next one here is don't be self-righteous. Proverbs 26:12. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Seest thou a wise man in his own concept or his own eyes, there is more hope of a fool than of him." Ugh. That's pretty tough there on that wise somebody, a man that he thinks he's wise in his own concept there. He says, "Don't be self-righteous." In Matthew 7, in verses 15-20. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Don't be self-righteous. Don't be self-righteous. Hey, listen, no one's perfect. I understand that. We're all sinners. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. You know, we all are sinners. But, you know, but we're not to judge or criticize or condemn people. Matthew 7:15 there, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." You know, they're out here, they're judging and stuff already. So, you know, don't be self-righteous. Just, you know, don't be criticizing, don't be judging or condemning other people and things, especially around your children. They're going to do the same thing, you know. They're going to do the same thing. So, you know, don't be self-righteous in these things. I got two more, but we got to stop there. So, like I said, worship God, respect all people, be humble, be honest, live a moral life, be generous with time and money, practice what you preach, don't be a hypocrite, and don't be self-righteous. I'm going to pick it up there next week. Any questions or comments? Nate?
Are you going to go over how we go about instilling some of these values, or are you just going to give us some values?
I'm going to give you some examples. I'm not sure what...
We skipped over being humble there. Didn't even say anything about it. To me, that's the big issue.
Mm-hmm. I'm positive we're going to be going over some of this stuff. I kind of got away from the lesson a little bit because it's just like anything else, you know, you get into and you just don't like it, it doesn't suit you, then you get into other things, you know, yourself, and that's what I did. I dug these up. But yeah, we can go over some of this stuff more. And I think we're going to be hitting some of this stuff more too later on, you know. And like I say, this is just the start of it. Basically, we're just in the beginning stages. Believe me, I told you that this wasn't going to be an overnight thing. There's many, many lessons here that we're going over with this children stuff. It's going to be nothing compared to what we went over with the husbands and the wives. I mean, there's so much stuff with children here; it's unreal that I can come up with. So, but yeah, we'll try to hit some of this stuff and see. And I gotta just spend more time thinking about some of these things too. Okay, anybody else? Questions or comments? Okay, Father, we thank you now for this time. We thank you for the lesson here that we had on just family values that we need to instill into our children. And Lord, we know that it's going to be a lifetime thing for them. And what we instill in them when they're young, till they grow up there, Lord, to get out on their own. And Father, we just need to learn these values here, Father. So help us to learn and to teach them, and give us the enlightenment of your Spirit. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.